are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back right here at Locked On Spurs. Happy Friday, everybody. I am your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. And yeah, I know it's going to be a long off season. You know, the off season is here. The Spurs season ended a couple days ago in a play-in loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. But it's time to look at the big storyline heading into the off season. No. It's not if the Spurs are going to bring back Kawhi Leonard. That's a whole other story right now. We'll talk about that with our guest in a few seconds. It is the future of Greg Popovich. Will he or won't he be back? A Spurs great chimed in. Las Vegas is chiming in. Even Popovich chimed in. And also we're going to be looking at DeJounte Murray. He's putting the blame on his performance on others rather than himself. We're going to ask if that was appropriate for him to do that or not. I am joined by my fellow colleague over at Ken's 5. He is Casey Vieira, the weekend sports anchor. Casey, we missed you here at Locked On.
I know. I feel like it's been a minute since I've been on, right?
I know I've been trying. I know last week I really tried to get you on a couple times, but I know you have your hands full sometimes. You're like, you couldn't make it. But hey, does it matter? You're here. That's all that matters.
I'm here. Good to be back. How you been? Appreciate it. business as usual. I mean, I know business a little bit different these days. you know, I can only make a bi-weekly appearance on Locked On as opposed to a weekly, unfortunately. It appears not by intent, but it appears that way. But
yeah,
all is well.
You know, I've had some
good thing is, and the good thing is too. I mean, you know, you're gonna to the listener, they're gonna be like, oh, where's he been? But considering we stay in touch pretty frequently, I don't feel as guilty. So I'm just throwing it out there.
I know I had a couple of people tweet at me like, where's Casey or like, where's the other guy? You know, it's like, he's busy, you know. But hey, he is back. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira and check him out on the weekends on Ken's 5 TV, holding it down for the all things sports. And of course, he'll talk about that later on. Casey, did you see that news about Kawhi Leonard and
which one?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, the latest, right before I hit record. Yeah. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Kawhi and his camp are having issues with the Clippers regarding his health status and if he's able to go or not. Sound familiar?
It does. You know what? I guess it's not as applicable, but I've been feeling like the Zion thing had been taking very much the Kawhi turn.
Uh-huh.
So who do you think plays another game for their team first, Zion or Kawhi?
I'm going to go Zion.
You think so? It seems like that bridge is starting to, I guess, be mended a little bit more.
Yeah.
Kawhi, you know, Kawhi's going to do Kawhi.
This guy, man, didn't the national media, at least some of them, not all of them, like drag the Spurs for the way they handled it? It looks like, at the end of the day, this is just a pattern with this kid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always kind of been a mixed bag with kind of judging on that front because, I mean, the guy. It was messy how it went out in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
But then he went out and he did his thing and he won a championship on his own. So it's like, well, he's been doing things his way for however many years now. Won a title less than 12 months after getting moved from the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers thing has been a little bit weird, I guess you could say. But, I mean, hey, like, this is what he is.
Yeah,
you know, it's very much documented. This is what it is. You pay for what you get, for better or worse.
Have fun, Clippers.
I mean, if he's healthy, if the Clippers are a top four team in the West, probably. But instead, I mean, here we are.
Have fun, Clippers. If you need a shoulder to lean on, maybe Spurs fans will help you out. If not, then he's your problem, not ours anymore. All right, let's. Enough about that former guy here in San Antonio. Let's talk about somebody who could be a former coach or maybe not. That is Greg Popovich. Season is over, Casey. Popovich just completed his 26th season at the helm in San Antonio. Now up in the air whether he'll be back for his 27th, 73 years old. He just accomplished two major things left that, you know, he could possibly do, which is win a gold medal with Team USA and become the all-time winningest coach in NBA regular season wins, surpassing his buddy and mentor Don Nelson. So the big question is he going to be back? Let's get Casey's thoughts first and then hear or at least read what Sean Elliott had to say about it. Casey, is he back or not?
I think so. I do. I think so. My reason for saying that is that I feel like at the end of this year, I think this team kind of established itself as, I guess, a little bit more of an identity to Pop, so to speak, as opposed to, you know, Pop continuously teaching these guys. And I know it's continuously, you know, an educating process, but it seemed like for the most part, towards the back third of the season, it seemed like the guys were starting to get it. And it really seemed like things were starting to click, probably faster than even he expected. If I was in his shoes, which of course I'm not, but it seemed like faster than he expected that it would be, that started to put things together. And I think for him, it's like, what else am I going to do right now? If I don't, it's not like he's going to do TV or anything like that. It's clear that, oh my God, like that would be the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard seen in my life. I swear.
I know.
but it's not like it's like, it makes it seem, again, I'm not in his shoes, nor do I know him well enough to establish these plans. But again, I don't think anybody really does, but it's kind of like, well, it's basketball. Is he ready to just kind of go into oblivion and chill in his place in the Dominion and spend weekends in the Vineyard in Fredericksburg? Is he ready to do that for forever? I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is, because I think this team right now, it's something. Obviously, it's been something new, but now it feels like there is something to work with. I don't know how good or bad something is, but there's at least kind of an identity and a direction that there wasn't really for the past 2 years or so. And another thing that was telling to me, Jeff, was watching that post-game Zoom. And for the first time in probably the past 2 years to year and a half or so, after a loss, he had kind of like that vibe where it's like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed because these guys know better than that. Kind of like back in the day where they'd go out there, the big 3 days, and occasionally just lose by 20 points or something, you know, had an off night and just get run out the gym. And Pop would kind of give off that vibe in the post-game pressers or wherever, like, you know what, I'm not mad at these guys. I'm just disappointed because we're better than that. We're better. Like, this is just, it's just embarrassing all the way around, you know, paraphrasing here. And after that Memphis game, or excuse me, after the New Orleans game, that's what it felt like. That was the tone of voice. It was, yeah, you know, we showed we're young and we reverted back to the same thing three quarters in a row, you know, and you can't do that. We kept reverting to it. I know the Pelicans played great, but yeah, we kept reverting to that, and those are things we can't do. And it felt like a really different kind of approach, tone of voice that he was taking to addressing these guys publicly. Because I don't want to say like the vibe has been some of these post-game pressers where it's just like, oh yeah, we tried hard, let's give them a participation trophy because they tried their hardest, you know. I don't want to say to that extent, but it was always just very much kind of a, yeah, they're trying, guys, they're getting better, but this is part of the process. This sounded like it was okay, yeah, this is the next step of the process. Take accountability. We can't have nights like this happen. And as a result, when I heard that, I was like, all right, this sounds like a guy who's going to be back. To me, at least. That's what it felt like.
You know, he was asked about his future in the NBA, you know, whether he's going to come back or not after the game and the media session. And he was told, well, he responded by saying, oh, that was inappropriate to ask. But I kind of disagree. You know, I'm watching on the Zoom and I think it is more than appropriate. I mean, this is a sport-related question. You know, for those of y'all who've never been in a media session, they pretty much let you have a leash as long as you stick to, you know, the games and, you know, related to the sport. But yeah, I mean, I disagreed. I think it's more than appropriate to ask because this is the future of the team. The team is in a rebuild. Becky Hammond quietly exited. You know, you look on that bench right now, if they can stay within the family, you know, is Mitch Johnson ready? You know, I don't know. You lost Becky Hammond. You know, who could possibly be next? What did you think about his reaction to that, saying it's inappropriate? I mean, I know you told me par for the course, but I disagreed. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, but just because it's par for the course doesn't mean it was, you know, Pop's response was appropriate.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was a valid question. It was a valid question that it was asked because, listen, the man's 73 years old. Anyone who's 73 years old in any sport is going to continuously get asked that question at least some point during the year. It's no indictment on them, but it's just kind of like, well, you're 73 years old, you know, you have more games behind you than ahead of you. I think part of it was, from Pop's standpoint, I think it was kind of just, I don't want to say heat of the moment because that's very frequently how he is anyways, but yeah. From Pop's standpoint, I think it was heat of the moment. And which also might speak to the fact that he was more disappointed than mad at the end
right.
of the game.
Maybe it was idea. Just inappropriate timing versus, you know, inappropriate
that
question.
Been, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe if you have a post-game Zoom or, you know, an end-of-season Zoom kind of thing going on in the next few days and you ask that, he might address that differently.
Mm-hmm.
I know probably the wording wasn't ideal going, I didn't get the clearest listen to it, but going back and listening to it, I know paraphrasing, it was something to the effect of, you know, it was after a Devin Vassell question, I believe. And the reporter asked is, you know, are you ready for another go around? And Pop's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like go around?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Like in the context made it sound like, are you want to bring Devin? Like, who are you bringing? Devin back for another go around? Like, what's the deal? And it's like, no, you. And I think that wording was probably kind of off-putting for him, I should say. So I think that might have been part of it too. But the general over idea, no, the question wasn't out of line.
Yeah.
The question wasn't out of line at all. No.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not just, you know, reporters asking the question, you and I asking the question right now about his future. Even a player that he coached and won a title with, Sean Elliott, you know, was a guest on San Antonio Sports Star. And I'm doing an interview with him. And he was asked that question, you know, hey, you know, what do you think about Pop, you know, coming back or not? And interesting response, though. And I know you had a reaction to it before you hit the record button here. Elliott pretty much is bracing for impact, meaning Pop's exit. Now, Elliott made it very clear he doesn't have any sores. You know, nobody's told him anything. But he's putting money on the possibility of Pop leaving. You found that interesting, Casey.
I did, because I feel like the majority of this season, after Becky left, in my mind, it confirmed to me that he's not going anywhere, at least for one more year. It confirmed to me that he's not going anywhere for one more year. All indications, every indication that we've seen this year, every question that he's answered, everything he's addressed, nothing, and this very much could be him after 30 years of playing poker face over here, knowing what to do here in these kind of situations. They never seemed in any capacity that this would be it. Beyond us speculating over just the fact that he's 73 years old, there was no real valid evidence to suggest beyond that this wouldn't be his last season, especially, you know, when Becky left, and that's what a lot of people kind of deemed her as the predecessor. But when she probably saw, the way I viewed it is she saw the writing on the wall and she was like, listen, dude, I can't keep passing these opportunities.
I know.
About to make me one of the highest paid WNBA coaches of all time. Like, listen, make up your mind here. Yeah, I mean, he's probably not revealing that to anybody right now. And to a certain degree, I don't blame him. He has that right. Mm-hmm. But it surprised me seeing what Sean Elliott said. I mean, he did kind of acknowledge that a lot of it was hearsay, or what was your wording there? You know, he didn't really have any true insight into Pop's mind. But then again, it's kind of like nobody really has true insight to Pop's mind, it seems. But if there's anyone outside of family who would know, it would be former players. It'd be longtime Spurs. It'd be guys who have been here for along with them for 30 years as well, or however many years it's been that Sean Elliott has been in working for Pop in some capacity. But I don't know. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I feel like everything this year just hasn't suggested, beyond him being 73 years old, there hasn't been much to suggest that he would be leaving.
Yeah, and I'm right with you.
I don't know.
You know, the moment Pop announced that Becky left, you know, to me that cemented it. I mean, by now, I don't know. I mean, look how tight-lipped the Spurs were about LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, it wasn't your usual suspects, you know, your Wojnarowskis, your whoever's, you know, breaking the news that LMA left. It was Popovich, you know, announcing that LMA left. They keep things close to the chest or the vest. But I'm with you. You know, when Becky, you know, said that she's dipping, you know, and then Pop said that, you know, she's done, you know, then I was like, okay, fine. Cause I don't think Mitch Johnson is ready. I don't think Matt Nielsen is ready to take over that role yet. So yeah, my money is going to be on him coming back for one more go. He'll be what, 74 by that time, you know, 27th. You know, he's cemented his space, his, you know, in the Basketball Hall of Fame, you know, arguably the greatest coach ever in the league. So there's not much more to prove. But if the players after the loss to the Pelicans were talking as if like they did say that he was all in this year, that he was enjoying it, that I think it was Josh Richardson said that, oh, his juices got going again. How much do you think a factor is that he actually coached maybe for the first time in the NBA versus just rolling the ball out and saying, here, Timmy, here, Kawhi, here, DeMar, do your thing. And that's what it feels like. This is the first time he's actually had to coach.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I guess first time he'd been challenged.
Like, yeah.
Had faced such a different challenge maybe in the past, like you said, 20 years or so, not even 20. Maybe five, probably, really, once Tim left. But yeah, the general idea, I kind of agree with that. I remember it was, I guess, two years ago now when they had, remember, it was 1920 season, where at the start of the year in November, they had a road trip. It was an East Coast road trip. And they had dropped like 8 games in a row or something like that. Mm-hmm. An awful start to the season. And I remember one of the things I asked them after the game, I made sure to carefully word this.
But you did.
It had the potential to be disaster. And thankfully it wasn't. It wasn't disaster. But to paraphrase, it was something to the effect of, do you enjoy this new aspect of what you're doing, in which it's not a given? You guys aren't the title favorites. You're a bunch of new teams, a bunch of unproven dudes, and winning is not in the foreseeable future, and this year and probably the next couple years. And he, again, paraphrase, he said, yeah, you know, it's part of the job. It is something different, but it's part of the job. And you continue to, you know, watch these guys learn and grow. And this game was in Philly, so this is when Brett Brown was still in the Philly head coach. So he's like, you know, watching guys like Brett Brown continue to, you know, grow in this on the coaching thing. It is rewarding in that sense. It's different, but it's rewarding. Now, I guess the win loss is a different story about it. It wouldn't indicate that you're probably getting more reward out of this than actual results, which kind of has been true, but this is at the point where Pop's career, where he's allowed to do that. You know what I mean? And for him, I'm just thinking, if I was a deep tactician like he is in this sport, I've proved everything. You know, I've got my rings, I've got my records, I've got my Olympic gold medals. Let's do something different for once. Let's do something different. Let's try to challenge myself again. I haven't had to do this literally in 20 years. No, right. Actually, no, pretty much ever, because when he's doing that 20 years ago, he's still got two all-world talents there on the bench, mm-hmm. and Duncan and Robinson.
So really,
ever he's never had to do this. And for him, I think there's probably a degree of it being challenging and refreshing. And I think also that's probably why you don't see him as flustered and as mm-hmm. worked up sometimes after some of these losses, because like, hey, this is what I signed up for.
Yeah,
I gotta be patient with these dudes. It's part of it. I'm not gonna go out there and just tear these dudes up for no reason. Mm-hmm. I knew what I was getting into, so this is part of a different process. And I think that's part of the reason we'll be back, because I think he's enjoying it. I think he's enjoying this new process.
Yeah, he's definitely enjoying it. He's a different person with the media. I'm pretty sure you noticed that, Casey. This past season, a lot more patient and willing to ask some questions. It just invigorated him. And it the way he's with, you know, with the media, it reminded me of his early days in San Antonio. He was very similar to what he was now, you know, maybe less. But I think he understands that it's a new generation. It's a new set of Spurs. It's they don't have a Timmy. They don't have a Kawhi. They don't have a DeMar. They don't have a Tony Parker or a Manu. You know, the closest they have is DeJounte, which we'll talk about him in a while. But yeah, it is a new time. But, you know, we're going to get into what Vegas thinks about Pop's future. We know about Vegas, Casey. You know, if they say something, more than likely is true. So, but hey, if you want to get down on some action on those odds that we're going to talk about in a bit, you want to go to betonline.net. It is your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. They already have the futures out. Popovich's coaching future is there. If you want to put some money on it, go to betonline.net. You can find all the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the MLB season. Look, BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoff esports, which I love, and much, much more. So you want to head to the website today. Look, you got a computer, you got a cell phone in your pocket. It's so easy. BetOnline.net to learn more about the trends and action. Again, you know, they have betting odds on who the NBA MVP. Texas believes that it's going to be Luka Doncic. Do you agree? You want to put some money down on that? Again, BetOnline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're talking with Casey Vieira. He's with Ken's Five, San Antonio, the weekend sports anchor. And make sure to check him out every Saturday and Sunday. You do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or just Saturday and Sunday?
I go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, yeah. Look at you. Move it on up, big man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sure he'll get into what Sean had to say over the weekend. When you do that, just make sure you give me a shout out, Casey.
Oh,
give me a shout out.
We'll give you a shout out. You didn't stop. It wasn't your interview. Get out of here with that.
Hey, I know you're a betting man. Let's get into what Vegas has to say about it. You strike me as somebody who's a Vegas guy that puts money down on some future props or something like that.
I'm a Vegas guy, but if I lose $20, I'm like, man,
devastated. You know,
I can't do this no more. I'll go out there. I'll drop like $60 on a dinner for one in Vegas. That's how much it costs for one person in Vegas. $60. I'm like, whatever. But I lose 20. Apparently, that's the line right there.
Oh yeah. Or you and your wife go out and like, okay, $100 tickets for a Vegas show, $20 on roulette. I'm done. I'm out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Suddenly, there's a line I don't cross at that point.
All right, anyways. Let's get into what Vegas has to say about Pop's future. All right, it's from Bet Online. Will he retire? Right now, the odds on that being yes at 1-to-1 odds, which is a +100. Now it's kind of close here. Will he not retire? The Vegas is giving 5-to-7 odds, a -140. So the odds are tipping that he will come back. It's not that much of a gap though. It's not like it's overwhelmingly, oh, he'll be back here, you know, +200, you know, -500, nothing like that. Vegas seems to be, it's nearly 50-50. Why do you think that?
I think.
Is it the age? Is it that he has accomplished everything he's done already?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it is. I think I was going to say Vegas isn't as much in the know as the people around who follow this team, the reporters and the people who are with this team every single day. They don't know that, but honestly, Vegas has a way of figuring it, and I don't know how they do it. They'd have a way of doing, right? Like I don't know how they do it. They're usually in the ballpark, and I guess when you think about it, the counterpoint to my argument is that he is 73 years old, and even though I'm saying that's the only evidence that would suggest it, I mean, let's be real. Like I said, 73 years old is 73 years old. I don't know. Beyond that, I don't know how overly educated I am to add much to it that I haven't already said.
Right.
But that is a little bit tighter than I thought.
Yeah, that's
a little bit tighter than I thought. Yeah.
Obviously, things change, you know, as the offseason will go on. But yeah, those are the early odds, and it's very close. But yeah, at the end of the day, I agree with you, Casey. I think Pop will be back. If you know how they say, like, oh, there's nothing more for him to prove. Maybe for him, the last thing to prove, quote unquote, is he can at least get these kids close to making the playoffs, not the play-in. Mm-hmm. This is already back-to-back seasons they made the play-in, so progress. You know, that's something. You know, a little progress there. But then again, you look at like this was the worst record in Popovich's coaching history. It's been a while since they were this bad record-wise. This was also the fifth, sixth season straight of no playoffs. And maybe that for him is a challenge to get these kids as close as possible to the playoffs. I know they want it. They were upset after the loss to the Pelicans. By the way, what did you think about that loss to Pelicans? It was just got ugly quick.
Yeah, but then it also got reasonable quick at the end.
Yeah.
I thought the Spurs were going to win that game. I thought they were going to win going into it. And then just kind of the way that games have gone this year is that they're never for a team that, what were they, 1-31 after losing after three or something like that, right? Was that the number? Stupid. Yeah, and 14 games under 500. They made an awful lot of those games really interesting. And, yeah, I mean, I felt good. I was like, yeah, New Orleans probably a better team. But these are a lot of guys that are in a very unfamiliar spot as well. Most of these guys haven't been in this spot as well. So it played out, I thought, the game largely that I expected, except I expected the result to be a little bit different. I did not expect DeJounte Murray to play as miserably as he did.
Yeah.
I did not do that. I did not expect that. I don't know what that really tells you besides what we're seeing on Twitter or what we've seen on Twitter in the past couple of days, and that a lot of people are speculating as to whether or not he is the guy to lead a team, myself included. That was not exactly the best receipt to provide the argument that he would be, but that was tough because the Pelicans game, it was tough because this is a team at the end of the day that is a 34 win team without the play-in. We're totally viewing this season entirely differently because at the end of the day, I mean, this was a below average basketball team and just kind of by default, they were playing relevant basketball, and that's to no fault of their own. Whatever way you get there, if you get there, you get there, and they did do that. Mm-hmm. So largely, though, I mean, I felt okay after it. I felt okay.
Yeah. Look. If bright side, hey, the playoff. I mean, the draft odds, didn't really take a plummet. Because that was on the table. Had they survived the play-in, the draft odds would have just plummeted. They would have been really outside of top 10. Now they still have a really good shot of landing in the top 10. I think they had like a 20% shot, something like that. Yeah, so they'll be good. Hey, you mentioned the game. Let's go ahead and talk about that. DeJounte Murray, I guess the aftermath of the game, all eyes were on him. He is the leader. He is the all-star. He's Mr. Triple-Double. You know, he's going to have a good game. You know, he's going to show us what he's got. And he didn't. He came up short. Saddled with foul trouble early. He picked up three right going into the halftime. And an awful shooting night. I think it was like 5 for 19 for the field. Was just really, really letting the refs get into his head to the point of that he didn't hide it. Casey, if you want to hear what I'm going to read what Murray had to say afterwards, we'll let you know right now. Kings5.com/Spurs. Murray went to his Instagram and blamed it all on the refs. Pretty much blamed it all on the refs. That it was the refs that called these ticky-tack fouls. It was the refs that had him sit for most of the games. That it was the refs that are taking away the letting the stars not be the stars, as he said. Yeah, you know, I read that. I was like, okay, I get it. You're frustrated. You know, you wanted to. You're a pro athlete. I get all that competitive juice. But come on, man. Come on. My first thought was like, you know what? You should have kept that to yourself, DeJounte.
That was the worst possible thing he could have said in that situation. The worst possible thing he could have said in that situation. When you go out there and you shoot 5 of 19, and not to mention some of those things he's not exactly correct about either, because that second quarter when he picks up that shooting foul 90 seconds into the second quarter, that for foul number three, that's a foul. Like, what? That is a foul. That's what am I missing here? I mean, watching basketball 32 years of my life in any level, any sport, what he did, that was a foul. That's not a product of bad officiating. That was just not a smart play. That was a foul. So as a result, you're sitting there for the last 10 and a half minutes of the quarter, of the second quarter, and the deflection, the blame suddenly deflects to poorly officiated play. I was like, what? You know, like what am I missing here? No, officiating is perfect, but there's a sense of accountability on that front when you know, what player is not critical of officiating at the end of the day? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like every player is critical of officiating. And unless it's like something super egregious, which by me looking at that game, and I think you as well, there was nothing in that game that was super egregious, right? I didn't think so. I thought by NBA standards, I thought that was a reasonably officiated game. In my opinion, I don't, that was the worst thing you could say, because he played so poorly.
Bad.
He was awful. He was awful. And the only thing, and he did touch on it a little bit in the Zoom, and I think a lot of people would have been okay if he left it at it and didn't get to the officiating side of things. It was like, just take the L and move on.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, it's like, just take the L and move on.
And he did that post game. He did that. I mean, to his credit, he did say that he admitted that he had a bad shooting night. He admitted that, you know, it wasn't the best of his game. He admitted that he's upset that this team wasn't in the playoffs, or at least it survived the play-in. But yeah, you don't turn around and then start pointing fingers, you know, because to me, you know, a sign of a leader is somebody who's not going to blame somebody else, you know, unless it's egregious, unless it's just majorly egregious, you know. But in this case, it was also even. Didn't B.I. get in foul trouble too? It wasn't like they were just picking on DeJounte, the refs. You know, B.I. got it too. And look, B.I. is already, you know, probably maybe a little bit above par than DeJounte.
But here's the thing, though, and I get his point. He's saying they're calling too many fouls, which you can make that case. But it's kind of like in baseball, where certain umpires call their strike zones differently. Some call it looser. Some call it tighter. Some will give you that high pitch. Some won't give you that high. Some won't do that. That's the type of thing you have to adapt to. And while they were calling the game a little bit tighter, at least it was consistent. It's not consistent. It wasn't to the point where it was disadvantageous to one team or another. If they're calling the game tighter both ways around,
sure.
What, you know, okay, what's the issue?
And they were.
They were.
Yeah,
they were. So what's the issue here? This is part of it. You have to adapt to the officiating, and unless there's something overly just offensively miserable that they missed, that's not like what you can't blame the officiating for, because while you might not agree with it, it was consistent. And largely that's when it comes to officiating, above all else, you want accuracy and you want consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they had that. It stayed kind of a level playing field for both teams all the way around. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. What's the bright side of this? You know, I think all in all, it's bad. It's a bad look on DeJounte. You notice how he put it on his Instagram stories. So they expire after 24 hours. So he's like, what are you talking about? I never said it. Yeah, I know. But I took a screen grab of it. So I got it.
I was going to say, unfortunately, he's a public figure.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the bright side of this. Okay, fine. You know, I look at it as, if you're that pissed off, DeJounte, then use it as the great Bobby Boucher would say, tackling fuel. You know, just use it as fuel moving forward. Just fuel you, get yourself angry. You're pissed off in the off season. And also, too, you know, I had a chance to speak with Evan Wash of the NBA. He's like the director of, you know, competition and strategy and stuff. And he's heading the play-in. And he told me that the Spurs have had conversations with him about how they don't see the play-in as like a playoff kind of thing. You know, they just see it as a developmental tool. So then, hey, you got yourself a lesson, DeJounte, that refs call things differently in a heated game. Refs, you know, are, you know, quick to blow the whistle, probably more so than the regular season. Learn that. Also learn not to let the refs get to you. And it wasn't just DeJounte. Did you notice Keldon was really getting impacted by the refs too? I mean, I've never seen him that vocal with refs until that game versus the Pelicans, Casey.
They showed their youth, and Pop even said it. Yeah. They showed their youth. They showed that they weren't ready for three quarters of that spotlight, that there's so many aspects of the intensity. It showed that they weren't ready for it. I feel comfortable saying that because that's what Pop said, that there was aspects of that game when it came to that front, they showed their youth. And that's really a big one. I mean, Keldon exactly, DeJounte takes the heat, but Keldon shot 6 of 22, 6 of 20 as well, not 22.
When your top two players on San Antonio squad do not show up and the top three players for the Pelicans go ballistic on you, yeah, it's going to make for a long night. You know, Devin Vassell, though, credit him. You know, he did his best to keep the team within striking distance. But, you know, going back to DeJounte, bad look. You know, hopefully, you know, he'll come back with a vengeance next season, get mad, get angry. But maybe the lesson here, too, for him to kind of just take the L. Just take the L, move on, and zip it. We're here with KC Vieira. He's with Ken's 5 TV. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at KC_Vieira. Now, before Casey tells you everything about what's going on in his neck of the woods, so we're going to be talking about Built Bar. Look, I love Built Bar. I go through boxes of them monthly. They are so good. And look, if you've given up on your New Year's resolution and you want to get back on track, stick to eating right, well, you can thank Built Bar. It almost feels like you're not really having a resolution because you'll actually enjoy eating them. They got a puff flavor now. It's like a protein-infused marshmallow. It's puffy, marshmallowy, but it's a protein bar. It's a treat. It's covered in 100% chocolate. Now, those puffs come in flavors such as churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're very good. They're going to be your new favorite. Built Bars, or all of them are, covered in 100% chocolate, even the puffs. And yeah, 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They're better. You don't want a candy bar. It can be anywhere for up to 200 to 300 calories. Go get yourself Built Bar right now. Go to built.com. Go look at the macros chart. You'll be blown away. High protein, low carb. Most bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 4 grams of protein. Compare that to a daily candy bar, which is about 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar. You don't want that. Get that out of there. Mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. They're all delicious. New flavors coming out all the time. you'll definitely discover your new favorite flavor by ordering yourself a box of Built Bars, and they're good for you too. They're all about the taste. They make taste delicious first and then make it healthy for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And look, this episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the amazing selection they got at Rock Auto, you cannot ever say you did not find your part that you need for your make or model over at rockauto.com. You got computers, go to rockauto.com. You got a cell phone, go to rockauto.com. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Don't go spending up to 30, 50%, 100% more for the same part from chain store or car dealership. It's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every single customer at Rock Auto. They got brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, everything you can imagine. And you can explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Let's get back to it with Casey Vieira, my colleague at Ken's 5 TV. Casey, all in all, you look back at this season, I guess you could say it was a success. All in all, it was. I think they exceeded expectations.
It was the best case realistic scenario. Best case, because they figured out who was worth investing in. They played relevant basketball in April. Whether he's a true all-star or a complimentary supporting cast all-star, they did find an all-star in this process, and in all likelihood they're going to get a top 10 pick. Tell me what's wrong about this season.
I mean, if they wanted to develop their players, they definitely got that. If they wanted to throw out, I mean, Casey, Pop threw out a 19-year-old kid as a starter for 13 straight games.
And in a playoff game.
And in a play-in game. That is, I mean, for a Popovich in his era, for that to happen, unheard of. But he had no choice. He had to throw him out there. And I think that experience is going to bode well for him moving forward. It was a good season. You know, yes, they missed the playoffs. Yes, they got bounced in the play-in again. But this is part of a rebuild, kids. This is what it looks like. Didn't Memphis go through this too? I mean, Memphis went through, I think, a couple of play-ins before they broke through. But then again, I mean, I get it. They got a guy named John Morant. But, I mean, that helps a lot. But still, you know, this is the Spurs going through a rebuild. And we'll see what the future holds. You know, this offseason is going to be very interesting. Tons of money, draft capital. Casey, do I dare say players you can still flip? Is that still on the table for Casey Vieira? Who are your flippable players right now? Is it still everybody, or has that changed now that the season's over?
Well, everybody, I think, is still movable because I think there's only maybe like 8 untradeable guys, truly untradeable guys in the NBA. I think everybody can be moved. I guess expanding that thought a little bit, I think everybody can be traded, but I wouldn't necessarily put everybody on the table. I think that's the best way to probably phrase that. Yeah.
That, or they're just going to be a very big sticker price on them if they want to move them. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about Pop's future in the NBA/San Antonio? Vegas says the odds are leaning towards him staying. Casey and I think he's going to be back. But do you disagree? You let him know at @Casey_Vieira. Meet Jeff G Spurs Zone. And what do you think about DeJounte's comment blaming the refs for taking him out of the game? Bad look, or let him talk? Are you those kids that, you know, you're these kids now, they always say, talk your mess, you know, Casey. God, I'm old, Casey. But I see it. So I'm trying to keep up with these kids. But there's some kids that say, yeah, talk. You know, do you agree or disagree with DeJounte, what he had to say? Casey, what is going on with Kent's 5? What you got cooking on the weekend?
Oh man, basketball season's over. It sucks, right?
Yeah, it does. But football's around the corner.
I was just gonna say. Yeah, we got UTSA coming up right around the corner here to keep us entertained, and some other things in between. And then we have the draft coming up and free agency, and we're right back to basketball again. So
yeah, basketball never sleeps.
On the weekends. Basketball never sleeps.
It never,
especially
does,
with the on Spurs Twitter. Never.
Exactly.
There's
right now,
something to talk about.
Right now, it's going ballistic about Kawhi Leonard pulling a Kawhi Leonard again with the Clippers. So go check out all that fun over there on Twitter. But yes, for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.